Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 146 on October 15th, 2016. Saving the world one ass at a time. I've got another interview for you. Remember Michelle from podcast number 119? Well, she texted me and said, hey, I'm going to do a gangbang, pegging gangbang. Maybe we could do an interview afterwards. Who am I to say no with a text like that? So I hope you enjoy this interview. So welcome, Michelle. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So you texted me and said, so I'm going to do a pegging gangbang. And maybe we could record a show afterwards. Maybe I could talk to you and we could record another podcast. And in my life, pegging is really a private thing. And I know it's not that way for everybody. So it took me a couple of days and I went, yeah, this is a good idea. We need to call her back.
You know, that's an interesting topic. We'll touch on that as we talk about this, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what questions to ask you.
Yeah. You know, I ended up posing some questions to, what do we want to call him? The bottom? He referred to himself as the center when we did
the center. Oh, nice word.
Yeah, it was one male-bodied person, and it ended up being four female-bodied people.
Uh-huh.
So he referred to himself as the center. He sent out, he was very thorough and sent out a pre-consent form.
Wow.
That explained what the evening would be like and asked all sorts of questions ahead of time of what you were okay with and what you wanted to be called and all sorts of questions that he had come up with. And so he referred to himself as the center through the whole thing, which is a good way to put it.
It is. And to send out forms ahead of time is just, that's amazing.
Well, it's, again, somebody from the BDSM community.
Sure.
And so consent was the first order of business.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, I want to say, a level-headed person. Like, he's very thoughtful and thorough. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know him really well going into this. He is somebody I'm an acquaintance with.
Uh-huh.
We are in the poly community together, so I know his wife. I know a few of his partners. Uh-huh. We're intertwined, but not close. So what happened was he actually posted a request on FetLife.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. How did he let you know?
So there's, you know, multiple, you know, pegging groups on FetLife.
Sure.
And he posted a request in one of them, which I saw because it shows up on your timeline, that he was looking to fulfill this fantasy to be, you know, the center of a pegging gangbang.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't reply publicly because I didn't really want people knowing my business. And I sent him a message privately that said I'd be interested in participating if you'd like to have me. And again, I don't know him very well. I didn't know what his thoughts would be on it. Mm-hmm. And he wrote back that he was super excited that I had offered and was really looking forward to having me be part of it. And kind of left it at that.
Did he know any of your business in terms of the podcast and that mm-hmm. you've done this before
or
anything like
that? He knows a lot about me because obviously I have my blog and I talk about it publicly and
sure.
I'm in the poly group and I'm in the kink community. And so we run in a lot of the same circles. And so he sees my stuff. He knows way more about me than I know about him.
Okay.
Which is generally the case with a lot of people. So I just didn't know how he felt about that because that can be a deter, like that could deter people away too. In that there's a privacy concern there.
Oh, I see, because you're high profile, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it hurts my dating life sometimes.
I hear you.
People don't understand. They really, as many times as I can say it over and over again, I don't write about anybody that hasn't consented to it. They always get approval before I post anything. There's
yes.
plenty of things that happen in my life that never get talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that until I turn blue in the face, and people just don't hear it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up running into him at a poly get-together a few weeks after he had made the request, and he was so excited, and he kept talking about all the preparations he was making, and I said if he needed any help, you know, I'd be happy to help, because there's some things you got to think about. You're inviting people that you don't have a really close relationship with, and you're offering yourself up to them in a really vulnerable way.
Yes.
And that means you don't know what their ability level is. You don't know what kind of equipment is coming into play. You don't know a lot of things. You're taking a lot of the control away from yourself.
So the other people who were a part of this, mm-hmm. I mean, for you, he knew that you had experience because of the public nature of your blog and you talking about it and things like that. But the other people, did they have any kind of experience, or did he know, or that was the whole thing that needed to be discussed?
No, I think, you know, ultimately it ended up, he didn't take everybody that offered. There were a few people that offered that didn't get an invitation.
Uh-huh.
The people that ended up there, he had some kind of connection to,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily. I mean, I don't know. One person was his wife, and the other two, one was he had had a previous relationship with, and I'm not sure about his relationship with the third person.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all in the same community, and we all know each other. It's just none of them were people I'm super close with, so.
I see.
Yeah, it was kind of, that was a new experience for me, in putting myself in that situation with people that I didn't know very well. Was a whole different vulnerability for myself.
Yeah, I can only imagine, because it's sort of, yeah, you're doing something that is, well, in my world anyway, it is so vulnerable, and you use that word, and I totally agree.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about it before. I feel like it's such a privilege.
Yes, exactly.
And I've only had one partner that I've pegged with, so
yeah.
I had a bit of, I want to say, imposter syndrome on my way to the event, and I was driving in the car, and I started to think, what did I sign up for? I've only had one partner. I don't know that I feel really confident that I'm walking into this knowing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
In retrospect, I know what I'm doing, but it's just that I didn't know what to expect from the situation. I didn't know what to expect from the people. I started to doubt myself, and so I made a quick call to my partner, my primary partner.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so nice that he's so supportive.
It's like, honey, I'm going to go fuck some guy. Can you really give me a little tap on the shoulder here and go, you got it, babe?
Yeah, I called him, and I'm like, honey, I'm having imposter syndrome. He goes, what do you mean? And I said, I just don't know that I'm cut out. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Why did I sign up for this? Why did I think I could pull this off? And he said, babe? I said, yes. And he goes, you're awesome. Remember that. He goes, worst case scenario, just think of me when you're doing it. And if that's weird, don't do that. And I said, okay. And, but he did make me feel better, and he's really good about that. And so I sucked it up and made my way into the hotel. And, you know, I brought, you know, all my gear. I brought BDSM gear. I brought sex gear. I didn't know what to expect, so I brought everything.
Uh-huh.
And, and it went really well.
So before we get into the went really well,
mm-hmm.
and the details.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm curious. First, when, you know, I made a little mention when you said it, but ooh, hotel, how lovely. But also, so when he sent out like the forms and everything, talking mm-hmm. about things, there was no mention of BDSM in there?
I mean, he asked like what I referred to be, like what I would want to be referred to as, like mistress, miss, you know, there was some title stuff going on there.
Right.
I'm trying to think, I can pull it up, but.
Yeah, well, in this moment that you're finding that on your computer,
yeah.
I just want to point out, as we've already touched on very briefly at the first, that the ability to negotiate and communicate in the BDSM community is so far above the ability to negotiate and communicate
mm-hmm.
with regular people that it astonishes me sometimes. And I'm just so proud of that. And that's something that gets overlooked a lot.
Sure.
And not talked about. It's the most amazing thing. And I remember a long time ago, I found this wonderful article by Midori. And I think it was a real hook of a title, sort of like The Real Danger of Kinky Sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get in and you look at it, and she says, well, here's the danger, is it's intimacy, because
mm-hmm.
we talk about things so much more, we negotiate so much more, and that's what it creates, is intimacy.
Yeah.
So the ability to just jump right in and go, okay, well, clearly I need to negotiate and have everything, all my ducks in a row here, is totally awesome.
Yeah. The only mention, there was 11 questions, And the only real mention of BDSM play is, are there any other activities that you're interested in participating in?
Oh.
That you would like to negotiate with other participants?
Uh-huh.
And he put, example, rope play, impact play, foot and body worship. So I'm not sure if maybe he worded that wrong. To me, that meant to interact with the other tops in the room.
Yes.
I think he might have meant for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, when he says foot and body worship, he's very much submissive, or he's a switch, but he definitely gets into the submissive role. So in retrospect, looking back at that now, I think he might have worded that wrong, but I can't speak for him. But otherwise, it was things like he asked our preferred name, preferred title, our pronoun, what protocol preferences you have, whether you want no eye contact, etc.
Wow.
Which is very much on the kink side. If you have equipment, if you have any triggers, hard limits, medical issues, if you're interested in any other forms of sexual activity. So, like, if it would be okay if he took things farther with you.
So thorough. I love this.
I'm really good with kissing. I'd even be down for some hand sex because to me that's, I like the idea of the pegging gangbang because I like the idea of a gangbang. To me, I get hung up on the risk factors. And so for me, pegging is like pretty safe. And so the thought of what could I do that was still within my not having to fret too much questions in my head, I thought hand sex and kissing is great. We can keep this on a really level. And none of that ended up happening. But it was all discussed ahead of time, so it was on the table that it could happen, and just the group of people never went that way. So it very much stayed centered on the center.
Nice.
In a very controlled kink way. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you've got somebody in charge, and he was really, he didn't get to take things any farther.
I think that is a misconception that a lot of people have when they hear about BDSM is when you're submissive and you let go of all control that anything can happen. And of course, those of us in the community know that the real true control is from the bottom because they decide what happens and what doesn't, and it's all negotiated beforehand. And yes, they create a situation where they can completely let go of control, but it's all negotiated. You know what's going to happen and what's not.
Yeah, if you're playing with a quality partner.
Yeah, and eventually in relationships, if you have a long-standing relationship with a partner, you may have negotiated a situation where it's you don't know what's going to happen, and that's okay because you've been together a long time and you trust each other. But in this situation, you just packed it all up and went to the hotel. Did you bring out any of your BDSM stuff?
Oh, we all did.
Oh.
So we all ended up with our own stuff, and so it was the first thing we did was start looking at other people's toys because it's fun, and you know, a lot of us have been to the same conferences together, and so we talk about, like, did you see this vendor, or I got this from this vendor.
Right.
And so what happened was I came to the room, and they had some beverages for us and some snacks, and so I had a little glass of, I think I started with a little glass of whiskey, because I just wanted something to kind of take the edge off, and sat and just chit-chatted with the center and his wife for a while until other people started trickling in, and then it kind of turned into, you know, just vanilla talk about business and whatnot, because we're all kind of self-employed in some fashion. And eventually, once everybody was there, it started off, sat on this long couch, and the center kind of worshiped each of us in a different way.
So let me backtrack you just a little bit, because I'm just got this whole visual going in my head, which I'm really enjoying, I have to tell you. And I'm picturing, okay, you first get there, you have your whiskey. Is he already naked?
No. I actually met him in the hallway on the way up. And he was just in shorts and a shirt and was grabbing some ice from the ice machine. And I wasn't sure what to wear, because that was my first question. It was like, what do you wear to a pegging gangbang? And I reached out to one of his partners that wasn't able to be there, and they said he really likes stockings.
Oh.
And so, and the dress I was going to wear, I don't usually wear stockings with. So I went ahead and wore stockings with them just for him, because it's his fantasy. So
sure.
So yeah, everybody was, all the tops were dressed really nice. And, you know, we tried to, he has a thing for heels. And one girl came in with a fabulous set of heels on that I was like, how did you walk in those?
This is just such a delicious,
I think everybody
thing.
Really wanted to make his fantasies come true.
Yeah, and it's just such an awesome thing. It's sort of like, oh, we're going to make this really special for you.
Well, if you're going to do it,
yeah,
do it well. And yeah, so he ended up, I think he gave one girl a foot massage and then helped her apply her boots. What's that?
And he's not naked still.
Oh, no, sorry. He was naked at this point. So it turned into, like, close female, naked male. So, yes, he was completely naked during all this. We were all completely clothed. And he gave one girl a foot massage and then helped her get her boots on. And he did some shoe worship to the other one that had the really great heels.
Mm.
And then with me, he ended up... Okay.
So, explain for my listeners who are not familiar with this, shoe worship, foot worship. Tell me what that looks like.
He is kissing and licking her shoes and kind of, like, licking her heels and, like, deep-throating her heels.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's a visual.
Very hot. Very hot. And these must have been... 4 or 5 inch.
Wow.
They were great. Yeah, and then with me, he did a lot of sucking my toes, but with my stockings on.
Uh-huh.
Like, he kept my stockings on, but he was very much loving on my feet.
Nice. So you've got garters and everything?
Nope. I just had on thigh highs that are...
thigh highs, yes.
The kicksies that stay up on their own kind of thing, yeah. But I still had my dress on. We were all still fully clothed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what he did with the other girl. She was on the other end of the couch, and I'm completely drawing a blank. But so he did that for a little while, and then we decided it was time that we put our strap-ons on, because A, we were all curious of what everybody had for equipment and what we brought for different size cocks and whatnot. So. We broke at that point, and all of us got our stuff on. And then we kind of took some fun pictures.
That's exactly what I was going to ask, pictures.
Yeah, you know, like all of us in a circle with our, you know, cocks pointed in the middle, and him kind of in the looking up from the bottom of like a rainbow of different color cocks. And yeah, it was fun. Very female bonding, which is always a fun thing. It's really hard to have female relationships. It's hard to explain. It's just women are pitted against each other so much, and you get in these like very bonding experiences. And I always walk away feeling like my girl circle is stronger. And so it wasn't like a competition. It was overall very, very nurturing amongst, you know, the women, and we all worked really well together, so.
When you say women are pitted against each other, you're talking about, like, normal people.
Yes.
And when I say normal people, I mean people who are not in the community, not into BDSM, not exploring their sexuality, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, even inside. I mean, it's hard, even in the poly community, when everybody is technically out to kind of be, you know, to have a giving heart that wants to share love, there still is plenty of competition.
Mm.
Even though you're really supposedly in the space of wanting to share and have more, there's still underlining competition that pops up. So,
well, it seems like it's so hard to get past that fear.
It is. It is. It's that scarcity abundance thing that I relish.
So I'm picturing you all standing around in a circle, kind of holding onto your cock.
Yeah, it's kind of like a circle jerk.
You take any videos, like videos of a circle jerk?
Yeah, we did not take any videos. There are pictures. And and I look forward to getting copies of them. That was part of the negotiations, was, are you okay with pictures? And what are you okay? Do you need your face out of them? You know, what kind of control do you need of the situation? So there were some good pictures taken. I look forward to seeing them. But yeah, we did the circle jerk kind of thing.
Could you imagine if you made a GIF just to of a circle
oh,
jerk?
Oh, yeah. No. Like, I wish there was a way to turn this into some kind of meme or something. I don't know. Like, I can picture it in my head, which is why I really need a copy of the picture, because it was really great. Because if I remember correctly, I believe he had Bicock in his mouth for the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a beautiful picture of
nice.
So much cock. Anyways, so after that, we decided it was time to get kind of started with some play, and they had an underbed restraint system set up.
Uh-huh.
So we restrained him to the four corners, and I had some earplugs in my bag, so we put those in him, and we put my hood on him and blindfolded him.
Wow.
So we tried to do as much sensory deprivation as we could.
Mm-hmm. His request, right?
His request is a blindfold. We started with that, and there was some questions on whether he was peeking. And so I said, I have a hood, and everybody kind of lit up, and so we put the hood on him. The mouth hole, it's appropriate. So that turned into us, like, basically quad-topping him, which is...
Explain.
I don't know if that's a term, but mm-hmm. There were four of us all taking turns, basically, with a little bit of cock and ball torture, a little bit of flogging, and, you know, all sorts of impact play, basically.
Got it. So simultaneously. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just all of us kind of standing in our respective corners and just hitting him with things.
And nobody's fucking him yet.
Nobody's fucking him. He is getting face fucked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we worked him over physically for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
He had some good, he got warmed up with a lot, I mean, as far as warmed up skin-wise, he had a lot of impact and some nice marks.
So you really had the endorphins flowing at that point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he just kept saying how thankful he was, and this is the best night ever. And yeah.
So no gag.
He ended up with a ball gag at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was there. Why not? I got to break out my Wartenberg wheel, which is my favorite tool.
Uh-huh.
And either people love it or hate it, and he get a lot of reaction out of it. That's the best $5 I've ever spent. I use that all the time. And, you know, we played with him. Like, he was just a toy, so...
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he wanted. And yeah, then...
specific about wanting that type of play in mm-hmm. his request...
No, he didn't. He actually didn't know it was going to go to BDSM.
Ah.
I went ahead and debriefed him a little bit yesterday before having this call because I wanted to understand his experience better before we did this interview.
Nice.
And he really had a vision of it being more of the typical porno situation.
Ah.
And he didn't know that BDSM would come into play so much.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, he said it was really great. He just, that wasn't what he envisioned.
Mm.
And he's really happy that it did that. He likes the bottom, so I guess it was a bonus for him. It certainly made for a much longer session.
Sure. You can only fuck somebody so long before it starts getting
well,
sore.
Well, yeah, and what I thought was going to be an early night for me turned into a really late night because I was there for a really long time. But it was nice. I mean, we just took our time. There was no hurry.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we played with him for quite a while before there was any pegging that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he was tied up on the bed on his back. And the question was, do we flip him over or do we leave him like this? And this is where, when you say that pegging is really intimate, this is where I realized I sat back on the bed and I looked around the room and two of the women were very much sadists. And I enjoyed watching them play with him because I picked up some stuff. You know, I learned some things here and there.
Uh-huh.
I don't identify as a sadist so much. I identify much more as a sensualist. And so while I have, like, lightning bolt moments of sadism,
mm-hmm.
I'm very much more sensual-based. And so I sat there and I thought, A, I can see the difference. I can see how much I'm not a sadist because I thought about how I would be running this scene would play out a lot differently.
Interesting.
And a lot of that was how much more sensual it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
A, if it would have been just me and him. I do miss pegging. I haven't pegged in a while with my partner. And so I miss that intimacy that comes with that. And mm-hmm. it's on my to-do list real soon.
So wait, at this point in time, I have to also interrupt because mm-hmm. I would really want to keep the visual.
I want you to follow it. Yes.
Here. So you are all dressed how? You clearly got your strap-ons on, but what?
I am just in my underwear and a bra and my strap-on.
Uh-huh.
I think at this point I took my thigh highs off too, but for a while there I had them on.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else was in various levels of clothes. None of us were fully clothed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everybody had different preferences as to what they kept on and what they took off. But,
I see.
Yeah, none of us were like completely naked by any means.
Yeah, I'm kind of picturing all kinds of different bra and panties and strap.
Yeah, we all have very different styles. And so.
Nice.
Yeah, everybody was just in whatever they felt comfortable with. But yeah, we were pretty much undressed, but mm-hmm. with different levels of undergarments. So I sat back and kind of evaluated the situation. That's when the talk was of how do we want to position him. Mm-hmm. And I jumped right in with, I prefer to peg with my partner in missionary position. But again, that's me being intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about it when I do it, is the intimacy that creates, that position. So, because obviously since the last time we've talked, I've done it more than a few times. And I've learned what I really like, and in missionary is my preference. So one person in this event did peg him from that position at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how long it lasted. Everybody, you know, everybody really basically just took one turn. So she had her turn. And at that point, we went ahead and I think he had to go to the bathroom. And so we let him off out of the restraints and mm-hmm. let him go to the bathroom and come back. And we went ahead. And at that point, we ended up restraining just his arms to the side of the bed and put him over the edge of the bed more in like a doggy style.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I got to have my turn. And mm-hmm. so as much apprehension as I had going into it, I didn't even think about it. And I just went in.
So sweet. Been right there in the moment. That's like your first time when you were topping somebody.
Yeah. You forget that there's people. I mean, not that I forgot that there's people around because we were all interacting, but the self-consciousness disappears.
Uh-huh.
And it was super cute. One of the people, the person that had pegged him right before me, ended up at his head, end of the bed. And so she was face fucking him while I was fucking him from behind.
Uh-huh.
And we did the whole like Eiffel Tower high five thing. And it turned into what he says was his favorite moment of the night. So I have a little pride in that. Because it was very bro-y and... you gotta have fun in this situation, right?
So absolutely.
We were really enjoying ourselves, and...
Okay, another question. I'm gonna jump
yes.
in.
Yes.
So...
I forgot to mention prep. What did we do to prep him?
Oh, well, okay. But first, what I'm curious about as well is, you know, everybody's got different equipment. They all got their stuff on. Did you like...
Yep.
Did you compare... diameters and say, well, you know, clearly we should go in this order because I've got the mm-hmm. biggest one and she's got the smallest one?
We all had, I would say that there was nobody that was sporting anything crazy big.
Yeah.
We all were much more on the conservative side.
Uh-huh.
The one with the biggest cock, it did end up going last, but I wouldn't say it was anything that was super advanced. I will
sure.
say it takes an advance. It wasn't for a newbie by any means, but he's not a newbie, so.
So there wasn't enough of a difference to where you really took.
No,
that
we
into
didn't plan it at all.
Yeah.
It just happened that the person with the biggest one went last by accident.
Got it.
Yeah, I forgot to mention before we actually got into pegging, while he was tied up on his back, I pulled out my pure wand.
Oh.
And started him off with the smaller end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of got him started that way.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first penetration for the night. So
mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention that first, but there was some prep happening. And speaking of prep, he prepped for the event thoroughly. So
mm-hmm.
it was a nice, clean event.
Sweet.
Because everybody's worry is like, you're in a situation like that. What if it gets... you know, messy, and we didn't have any problems. So,
and that's when experience really comes in handy, because if you mm-hmm. know your body and you know exactly how to clean out so that there is virtually no mess, then
yeah.
you know exactly how to do it. And you can
in
relax.
In an event like that, that's really important. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, I have never prepped for anal sex
mm-hmm.
in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell when I feel like it's going to be okay and it's not going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
The time when I've had two bad situations, and one of those times I knew it was going to be bad.
Mm.
I warned my partner. I said, I don't think this is a good idea. And he was like, oh, it'll be fine. And I'm like, I'm telling you. And I proved him right. But
mm-hmm.
in this situation, he was experienced, and he knew in this kind of event, you really wanted to make sure that everything was good. So
yeah, this is probably one of the times when you'd go to the more extensive lengths to make sure.
Yes.
So you eat right for the, you know, a few days, and you have a lot of roughage in your diet, and then you don't eat so much, you know, the day beforehand, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he wanted, I mean, this is his fantasy. He did not want anything to go wrong,
mm-hmm.
so, it didn't go wrong. We had a very, no surprise event.
Sweet.
So I pegged him.
Wait, so Pure One,
okay,
did you warm it up?
Oh, the Pure One? Heck no, I did not warm it up. That's the fun of the Pure One.
See, there's a part of you that's a sadist.
Well, I love temperature play. I mean, it's not something on myself that is a bad thing. Like,
yeah.
that's a good thing. I love it. Now everybody else doesn't love it per se. So yes, there's a sadist in me. My sadistic side doesn't generally come from hitting people.
Mm-hmm.
My sadistic side has been pointed out to me comes from things like long-term tease and denial.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things. I mean, that's my sadist.
Mm-hmm.
So cold, you know, temperature play to me isn't sadistic, but I guess for some people it is.
It's just the way that you answered the question. I'm like, did you warm up? You go, heck no.
Heck no. Well, because that's what I love about it is that it's cold.
It could be even colder too.
It could be. We could have like put it in. Oh, there was a lot of other temperature play going on too. I forgot about that. During that whole prep time,
mm-hmm.
One of the girls took a condom and filled it with ice and
Ooh.
Water.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a freezer available, and we didn't think ahead of time. But then they inserted that, and so that was fun to watch. Like
mm-hmm.
I do enjoy watching that kind of torturous stuff, but a lot of ice play was happening.
Mm-hmm.
In preparation for moving on to pegging, but
nice.
Those are the little notes that I made in my head, like, ooh, the condom, the frozen condom thing is a great idea. So
I enjoy ice cubes, just free ice cubes, and as soon as it gets small enough,
uh-huh.
you just push it in there and leave it.
Yep. Yeah, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that a few times. It's fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to dealing with like heavy impact sadists. And so the other kinds of sadism or the ways that you can express yourself as a sadist don't always click to me as being sadistic.
Got it.
Because it's just, I'm used to a certain kind of sadist.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a fun sadist and then there's the brutal sadist. And I'm a fun sadist, I guess.
I think I'm about halfway in between. I can get kind of brutal. But
mm-hmm.
then I click back into the stuff that it sounds like you like. In fact, I love crossing the wires. I love doing something that's exquisitely painful and then following
mm-hmm.
it immediately with something that's exquisitely pleasurable.
Yeah, a little like the hedonist always comes out in me. So that's another part of, I mean, we can talk about that in a different part of the conversation. But yeah, I love when I can combine pain and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we played with ice cubes. We had a cold Pure One. We had lots of lube. That's always everybody's question. Like, what do you take to a pegging gangbang? You take lube, lots of lube. After I got done with him, then his wife was next.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know if she was going to participate. She wanted to be there for the experience, but she didn't know if she'd participate. And she decided to participate, and I think she had a really good time. And it was really fun because she was going to town on him, and I had an idea, and I got up on the bed and sat down right at his face and let him suck my cock while he was getting fucked by her, and
mm-hmm.
it was super hot. That was probably my favorite part of it because
mm-hmm.
I got a great view. B, he's right between my legs, and there was that little moment of gosh, I wish we had negotiated oral sex. But we hadn't, because I didn't intend to go there. And that's why negotiations are really important, because uh-huh. you do them in a level-headed space, and you don't make spur-of-the-moment decisions.
Yes.
Not that that would have been a bad decision, but nobody would have had time to really think about what they wanted and what they didn't want.
Yeah, the consent wasn't there, yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't progress to that, but boy, was the thought in my head.
It might have been just the sweetest and most erotic thing for you, and it may not have been the nicest thing for his wife or...
Yeah, it might have made other people in the room uncomfortable.
Yep.
And that's why it's, especially in group things, it's, in my experience, it's been really important to pre-negotiate what is allowed and what isn't allowed, and to stick by those, no matter how much you don't want to stick by those negotiations in the moment. And, you know, whatever your relationship agreements are, stick to them for that event and renegotiate for the next time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will always be a next time.
Hey, everybody. You've reached the end of part one of my interview with Michelle from Michigan. So go ahead and click on to the next one and you'll hear all the rest of it. There was just too much good stuff we talked about. I didn't want to cut anything else out. So you have a two-part interview today. Enjoy.